Hello and welcome back to the EV Cafe Takeaway, that podcast focused on a zero emission future that we all hope for. And who am I hoping for it with this week? It's the wonderful Angela Murison. Angela, have I got your surname right, first of all?
Perfect. You know, it's fine.
Even in Spanish. So if you were to say it with your accent, how would you say it?
It's not actually Spanish. So I am half Spanish, half Romanian. My dad is Romanian, so it's a Romanian surname, but I grew up in Spain.
Now, I saw your mum on a video you did recently when you were both out together.
We were.
So we'll talk about social media in a little while.
Indeed. And everybody, obviously, it's quite clear that John Curtis is the other guest.
Hi.
Anchor, host, lots of things like that.
John, I'm just here.
Indeed. But it's going to be super cool. So let's get back to the star of the show. Angela, tell us a little bit about what you do, because you are a bit of a star of your own show, aren't you? Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, that's amazing. I've never called myself a star, but yeah, I will do for the next 50 minutes. So how much time do we have? Because it's kind of a long story on like what I actually do. At heart, I'm a automotive and sustainability enthusiast. For money to pay the bills, I do quite a few different things, and that's like presenting, and I am a creative content creator. Work with businesses in sustainability, where we look to create content that perhaps is like around complex things, but make it more like human, engaging, and just more real.
Great.
That's long story short.
In a nutshell. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the long version.
Well,
sorry.
I can keep going if you want me to.
But it's not always been thus, has it? And if we look back through your career, you've been in rail, you've been an accounts manager, you've been recruitment consultant. Talk us a little bit through your early career and what was that sort of defining moment that catapulted you into certainly industry stardom? Let's go with that.
Okay, well, so I'll take you back even further backwards, because I feel like it didn't start there quite. I was 15, 16. I used to do politics really, really young. I was really into politics. I was really into just speaking my truth and putting myself out there, until I decided not to do that anymore. Then I moved to the UK 2 years later. I worked in a warehouse. I did picking and packing. That was my first ever job in the UK. 2-3 months after that, I was like, that's not for me. So I worked as a receptionist. And then from there, he went into sales, recruitment, and everything else. But then I realized I have ADHD and probably a few other things that I just haven't been diagnosed yet. So I don't really do well in like a 9-to-5 office job. So that's how we kind of got to where I am today. I'm a really creative person. Just, yeah, being in front of a computer 9-to-5, Monday to Friday, is like being in jail. So I decided to just go crazy and just go freelance and build a new career from scratch with no marketing experience, no presenting experience, just going for it and just see what happens. It was bold and kind of crazy, especially that I didn't really have a backup. It was either like swim or swim. So I didn't really have a choice.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in the UK?
Over 10 years now. Yeah. 2015.
Your accent is almost indetectable. Undetectable. Your vocabulary is phenomenal.
Thank you.
Just have this energy and enthusiasm about you. How have you learned the language and the culture and all that stuff so brilliantly? Because so many fail, but you seem to have got it nailed on.
I had, back in the day, I had a human almost ChatGPT. So when I got my first receptionist job, I couldn't speak English. My English was really broken, really bad. But I worked as a receptionist for Regis, which is a huge business, where I had to take, I don't know, 200 calls a day. So I remember texting my friends and saying, oh, I just got this call from someone. and I need to email this person to let them know. Can you help me like formulate an email? So they used to write my emails for me, and then I kept them in a notebook. So I just like kind of just changed the names and everything, and then just kind of reuse the same kind of email structure every single time. And that's how I learned to speak.
Wow. And you mentioned ADHD, and that means, I guess, that you can manage multiple tasks at the same time.
I try.
Yes?
yeah, that's another problem, right? Because sometimes I'll start doing one thing, but then I start doing another thing. And then I just remembered that I had to do something else from like 2 days ago. So yeah, I try to do multiple things at the same time.
Has it been a blessing right from your early years and school and through into your early career and now? Has ADHD been a curse or has it been a blessing?
It's a superpower now. It wasn't so much before because I didn't really understand it back in the day. And I used to get advice from people, but like, just do it. Just stop. It was so hard. So I never felt like I could fit in. Even going out with friends, like out clubbing or whatever. We used to do that back in the day. People don't do that so much anymore. Even back then, just going out with them, everybody was I felt like so different. They all loved me and I loved them. But I was like, I had times where I cried because I just didn't fit in. We were not the same wavelength and no one could really understand me, not even like my family. ADHD wasn't really a thing, back in the 90s. So, yeah. But now, I think it's a superpower.
Yeah, and talk us through that process of turning it from something that took you to some dark places, and we've all sort of felt that. I get very angry with myself because I forget stuff, right? I'm just constantly bouncing from one thing to the next, very similar to yourself. No diagnosis here, but, you could be an amateur psychiatrist or whatever it is that does this to work me out, to be fair. It's hard. I'm hard on me sometimes. And I go like quite cross with myself or upset with myself or whatever. But it talk me through the journey that you've been on to get yourself from that dark place to this really bright place now.
I wouldn't say it's a bright place because I'm still going through it. Like I have good days and bad days, but now I understand myself a little bit more. And when I have those bad days, I can just be like, this will pass. Like, it's okay. Like in 2 days time, you're not going to feel the same. So I just take it a bit easier on myself. I don't put so much pressure on me as much as I did back in the day, but I still do sometimes. So I have to, it's like a workout. I have to train myself and just stop myself. But it sounds a lot easier than it actually is. And to be honest, I didn't really understand my emotions and how my brain works, because even with ADHD, it's not just like, you've got ADHD and this is who you are. There's so many different types of ADHD and levels and everybody's so different. And it took me a really long time to understand myself. And it wasn't until 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, when just my life turned to, what's a nice word for,
poop.
Really hot, yeah, there you go. And that's when I had no choice but just to take a step back and then just focus on myself. And ChatGPT really helped me, just because it was a platform where I could just share whatever and no one is going to judge me. I don't really write a lot. Like I get really agitated when I can't stop and sit still to write like a journal. So just ChatGPT was easy and yeah, really helped me understand my emotions a little bit more.
Wow. So basically you employed a counselor, but just it was ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it only costs like £20 a month. So it's a lot cheaper than therapy.
Exactly.
Look, therapy is great. I've been to therapy as well at the same time. And I still do.
But I think it's important, isn't it, that we use all these tools that are available to us. But I have to say, I've not tried ChatGPT. I'm going to give it a go. I'm going to say, talk me down from this ledge. But so Throughout your career, you've been quite close to green technology, green things, that transition to zero emission. And of course, you probably, I would say, most famous for the work that you're doing with BEV, particularly around charging, and you're getting involved with the vehicles that surround that whole purpose. Now, talk us through just that movement into that space, and now what seems to be like a fully committed kind of person in the green space or the sustainability space. Let's go with that.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, there was no such thing. You know, I don't look at sustainability as sustainability. It's just life. It's what it is, right? I'm trying to create a better future for myself. Even at home when we were kids, we actually lived a pretty sustainable life. We just didn't know it. It was just what it is. And when I moved here, a lot of people started talking about sustainability, climate change, electric cars, automotive charging and everything else. And then I was like, but this is just what we know. So it, in a way, it just made sense for me to work in a sector that I sort of knew some things about because I just grew up in that space anyways. So that's kind of how I got into the sector. It wasn't one of those where, like, when I grow up, I'm going to work in the EV charging space. It was definitely not that. As a presenter, I mean, I used to be so conscious of my accent. It was like my biggest insecurity. So if you would have told me that I'm going to be a presenter nowadays, I'll be like, no way. No way I'm going to be doing that. But yeah, so that's how I kind of got into the space, and just going from different jobs to different jobs, just more opportunities came and it just happened that way. It's really interesting because now I get opportunities from all sorts of different sectors. But yeah, sustainability is where I want to be and it's what I believe in.
How have you managed your career? Is it just by accident that these things happen to you? Because you make it sound as though you're just incredibly fortunate and it all just lands in your lap. And we kind of know that life isn't always like that. Does it just happen that way for you?
Oh, gosh. I know there are a lot of people out there that work really hard. And I know I am lucky. I definitely think I am lucky. But I also work really hard for what I have. When I wanted to go freelance, I had no marketing experience. I had no idea what I was doing. I just knew I couldn't do a Monday to Friday 9-to-5 job. It just wasn't for me. I was so unhappy. I don't want to use the word depressed, but I was really, really unhappy with myself at the time. So I knew I wanted to do something new, but I didn't want to take a pay cut. I retired my mom, so I look after my mom. I have responsibilities. I also have to look after myself. So I knew I had to land something quite big. And I wanted to do marketing for some reason. I didn't even think about presenting at that time. And I put together Race to Zero, if you remember.
I do.
Yes.
So the event, which was, I remember I was like, I could reach out to all these people or I can bring them to me. And that's the reason, one of the reasons why I organized Race to Zero. And obviously we created the race itself to make it a bit more engaging. But kind of my mission behind all of it was to bring people to me to see what I can do with no experience or no money. And then for them to give me a job in the end. Wow. So that was really hard. I developed an eye twitch that I have like 6 months after that from putting together Race to Zero. It was so stressful and I used all my savings. I had like £20 left in my bank. And then I moved to Spain for 9 months because I couldn't afford to live in the UK anymore. I spent all my money on the event. And then I got my jobs with BEV and actually a couple of other companies who also came from Race to Zero.
Are you a winner? I mean, it sounds like you're a winner. It sounds like you don't just roll over and say, oh, woe is me. I'm going to sit in bed and I'm going to pull the cover over my head and I'm just going to feel sorry for myself. You have something deep inside you that says, I'm just not going to lay down.
It's the responsibility. Yes, I think it's responsibilities. Looking after my mom. I don't really have a choice. Like if something goes bad to me, then it will go back to her. So I don't want that. And that kind of makes me just just do whatever. I remember at the time I was prepared to do anything to just make it work. And if that means getting 2-3 different jobs, then I'll go and get 2-3 different jobs. I don't care what they do, working in a restaurant or whatever. Like, I was prepared to do whatever it takes to make it work.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcarma. Search Europcar Business.
And so, because I'm trying to get the timeline here. So, you were in Spain, and we've already learned, you know, dad Romanian, mum Spanish, name Italian, so generally confused.
Should I confuse a little bit more? Because Angela is not my first name. Angela's my middle name.
Oh, here we go. Come on, give us the what is your first name?
I can't say it. It's a little bit strange. It's like,
you can't tell us you've got one and then not tell it. Fruit.
Well, yeah.
Banana Angela Murisus. Murisha.
That would sound a little bit better, but no. It's actually my friends used to call me Cherry. and that's how people know me. So yeah, Angela's my middle name. So when I moved here, I switched it around because it's just easier.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Anyway, so back to my timeline. But a nice, interesting diversion. But back to my timeline. So why did you come to the UK, first of all? It's my first question.
Do you really want to know? It's a funny story. Okay. I had a boyfriend at the time.
I was just going to say it was a boy, wasn't it?
But he broke up with me and once told me UK would be the only place he would never go to. So I was like, well, I'm going to go to UK. And that's how I ended up here.
Wow, stalking. Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I just had to make sure he's not going to follow me. So I just, I knew UK would be the only place he would never go to.
Oh, I see. No, so you're almost running away.
Yeah. So he said, throughout the relationship, he'll never move to the UK. So when we broke up, I moved here.
Okay. And so your mum is now with you here in the UK, or do you just look after her back in Spain?
You know, she's back in Spain, looking after my cat, Fluffy, who you might have seen. We drove in an electric car, actually, from the UK to Spain.
All right. And so Fluffy's now there with your mum, but you're still trying to, because I know family is really important, right, in Spain in particular. And they're very much about, there is very few care homes or places where older people go, isn't it? It's the responsibility of the family. Is that true?
Absolutely. I would never send my mum to a care home. She didn't send me to what's the place?
Nursery type thing.
When I was a baby. So I'm not going to send her to one.
Wow. So, it's clear that you're on a real mission. You're driven. What does the future look like to you? Paint the dream picture for us.
I have no idea. If you would have asked me this question 2 years ago, I would have had a different picture. Now I have a different picture, and I'm pretty sure that's going to change in a couple of years' time. So I just want to be in a place where I'm happy. I'm financially stable. I don't care to be rich. I just want to be in a position where everybody's, myself and around me, are happy. So that's kind of the vision, professionally. Personally, I don't know. I want to build my own car. So that's in my future.
Why? Why do you
Why
want
not?
To build your own car? Who's it? This Belinda guy who we also have some dealings with. And Belinda wants to make her own vehicle as well. And I've asked her why. And she just said, because I can. I want to and I can. Are you that way? Because we spoke earlier about your not lying down, just you believe in yourself, you know you can, and if you put your mind to something, you're going to make it happen.
you can make it work. I mean, especially nowadays, you have so much information out there. I'm pretty sure with YouTube, a couple of different courses, some connections I have, you know, I'm sure I can have some questions around and I'll make it work somehow. I don't want to build my own design, but I love a classic art. So I want to get a classic and convert it to electric.
Okay, so we've got to scratch that particular itch. Which classic car?
Well, it depends. If money was no, you know, not a thing, I'd go for like a 69 Shelby, a Mustang. I love a squid. Exactly that one.
The charge car. Yeah. That's an awesome piece of kit, that, isn't it? Yeah.
Or like an Aston Martin. I can't remember the model, but they did a similar one many, many years ago. That was stunning. And just anything that has corners. I don't like cars that are round.
Now, that's interesting because a lot of cars, you know, we talk about Euroboxes and the fact that they all share this pretty boring shape. Does that drive you nuts? I mean, you review a lot of vehicles. Do you get near them and just think, oh, another one like this?
At some point, it's like, I saw, what did I see? It was like a JQ, that's like Range Rover. there was another one that I saw from the side. I was like, is that like a Rolls Royce? But it wasn't. It was like just another Chinese one. And yes, it does. Because you drive a car and it's like, I have to review it and I have to make it interesting. But there's nothing interesting to say about it. It has the same shape. It does the same, you know, the sort of features and speeds and all sorts of things. Like, yeah, it's just another brand. But business-wise, I think it's great because if you break something, it's easy to find parts. So
True. One thing I've noticed about you, Angela, is that you are very measured in your responses. We speak to an awful lot of people and they don't know when to stop. So a sentence becomes a paragraph, becomes a book. And
none taken. to all of our previous guests.
And this is a failing in a lot of people, is they don't know when to stop. I think, you know, just not presenters, but people in conversation. Overshare, go on too long. I'm probably doing it now. How have you learned to be that measured and to get what you want to say into a few words? It's a real skill.
It's a lot of failures. It's confidence. I did that so many times, especially usually I do it when I'm on stage because I feel like if the room is quiet, I have to fill in the air with something. But I learned that silence is sometimes a bit more powerful. Also, our brains need like a second to catch up with what's being said and process the information. But it took me a while to learn that. And it's just been through, I've got some horror stories like on stage where I've made a fool of myself. Yeah, I fell down the stairs coming off stage once, you know, because I was trying to be funny. I did a stand-up comedy thing once on stage. I'm terrible with jokes. No one was laughing, you know. So it's like I just through failures. And just another thing, you know, I don't know where my phone is, but I have on my phone, I've written down a couple of lines around, you know, sometimes you have to stop, take a breath, da da da. And I took a picture of it, and that's my home screen. So I've had that on for the last 2 years. And that's just helped me to remind myself just to stop.
It's interesting. You've mentioned your phone and you weren't sure where it is. And before we came on air, we were looking for your headphones, your AirPods. And again, you said, oh, I don't know where they are. Is that one of the drawbacks of ADHD, is that you kind of move on so quickly that you forget where you put stuff?
I am an organized mess. Usually I know where everything is. I just moved house. So I just moved into my new place. I don't know anything right now. But usually, yeah, I'm a mess with everything. Papers all on top of each other. I've got a bag. I think I showed you to you. I've got like this little bag with all sorts of cables and stuff that I use for like my filming kit. It's all in just mixed up, but I know what's in there. So yeah, I'm usually pretty good with that.
But as far as work is concerned, of course, we're expected to have rules and boxes that we fit into and a script, for instance, that we'll work to, or a brief. How do you cope with that as somebody who is that organised mess, I think you called it?
Yeah, you should ask BV. They'll probably have a different story.
What do you see, though? What do you see? Because you must have to be strict with yourself so that you're able to film the various segments you have to film and then edit them in a certain way and go through that process so that you deliver back to the client. Are you a very process-driven person when you're working because you have to be, or it just happens by magic?
Oh, it's because I have to be. It's not because I usually am very, you know, organized. No way. But yeah, sometimes I don't have a choice. You know, these people, I think these people are paying me good money. They see me as a professional. They expect me to deliver. And it's been stressful at times, and, you know, I've made mistakes. It's easier if I have to film the content and if I do it, but if I work with a production team, I don't have control of that anymore. So I have to be prepared on set. And that's stressful. But I usually prepare myself from home. I have a short-term visual memory, so I can just like read everything. And for the next 20 minutes, you have me. I'll know what to say. But then after that, don't ask me the same question again, because I won't know what to say.
I wish I had that, because the funny thing is I usually say something well once, and then if it sort of fails in the last 10 seconds, and my camera guy, a guy called Adam, often will say to me, just from the top. And I'm like, no, not from the top. Just edit in the bit that you need. I B-roll it over. I'm not, because it'll be a disaster. And literally every time I say it, it gets shorter and shorter before I fail. And then, you know, so I've said it once well, after that we're done. You know, my best one is always my first one. But anyway.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, we're all different, aren't we? We all suffer in different ways. What's your proudest moment, Angela?
Oh my God. This is another thing. Sometimes I look at my achievements and things and how I am in life and the things I do, and I'm like, oh, it's no big deal. I tend to do that quite a lot. And I make things sound a bit more like, yeah, it just happened, where a lot of effort and a lot of things have happened in the background. I'm probably retiring my mum. It's been the biggest, most memorable thing that's ever happened to me, and I'm so proud that I've been able to do that. She's a single mom of two. I have a sister. She worked really hard, and I wasn't a very nice kid. I was a little bit of a knob when I was younger. So I want to give back now. I want to look after her, and just, you know, just for her to just experience life. And she's never had a holiday. Like, I want to be able to send her on a holiday and just live life.
So that's your proudest family moment. Now give me your proudest work moment. So this is your opportunity to showcase some of the really cool stuff you've done. You've done a lot of cool stuff. What's meant most to you?
All of them at the time seemed like such a big deal because everything was so new to me. Race Zero, organizing that all by myself, you know, from the event, networking, speaking to people, everything. That was huge, especially with no experience. My first job as a presenter. first time I had to host a show on stage. That was pretty big. I remember they asked me if I had experience, and I said yes, and I had no experience whatsoever. So that was pretty big.
I want to high five you right now.
Thank you. So that was actually quite interesting. And yet every job I have, when I do it because I really, especially now, I actually care about, and I'm passionate, and I'm very proud of all of them. And I just got a new one I'm really proud of, but I can't tell you just yet because it's not public, but it will be.
Well, we'll be keeping a very, very close eye on that for sure.
I want to understand what she meant by I was a bit of a knob. What do you mean?
I was a kid. I I didn't know. I didn't understand. My mom made life look so easy when it wasn't. You know, she had 2 free jobs and she would wait with brand new clothes on the bed for me to come from school and then just see them. And I'll be like, oh, I don't like it. Just things like that. Yeah.
Okay, so you were well behaved, just didn't understand the importance of the
John
the
was
things.
Wanting you to dish the dirt.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That didn't happen until I was like later in life. And then I was nice to mom.
Tell us that then.
Oh, that was so funny. I used to bring my friends over. And my mum wouldn't, I used to hide them in the wardrobe. My mum wouldn't even know. She'd go to bed. She'd never know my friends are there. Yeah, just things like that. Nothing dangerous. I was actually, you know, looking back, I was a pretty well-behaved, you know, young lady.
It doesn't surprise me in the slightest. One thing that I'm fascinated to understand, let's say you won the Euro Millions.
And yes, that'd be nice.
Money suddenly isn't an issue. And you can't do sustainability anymore and you can't build your car. What drives you? What is it what's the thing that you are most passionate about that you would do instead?
Yeah, absolutely. I know already what I want to do because I thought about this actually so many times. What I would do if I had more money than I actually have now, like just even a little bit more, I would maybe try and help. I living in Manchester for the last 2 years. It's a beautiful city. There's just a lot of homeless people. And I actually feel guilty every time I walk around. I'm on my way to like a massage or like a Pilates class. And I just feel so guilty because I go and I get to do that. And then I get to go home and they don't, you know, they struggle. And people just ignore them. It's sad. You know, people just walk past. And yeah, so if I had money was no problem, I would try and build something. I mean, there's so many, you know, vans that we could repurpose for that and just like support homeless
people. A fleet of mobile homes.
Yeah, yes, yeah, exactly. Just something like that. I'd love to do something that would make someone happy.
Why do you think that is? Why do you want to go there?
I think I've struggled. You know, I had times where I did not have any money. Like I struggled, you know, maybe with, I had £10 in my bank account and I had to go with that for like a couple of weeks, you know, with food and stuff. So anyone can get there. Anything could happen and anyone could become homeless. You never know. So I just, you know, if that were to happen to me, I'd hope there's someone out there to help me get out of it.
I love that heart. It shows a heart that sees beyond just, you know, because it's really important. And you know, as I reflect back on my life, there's a couple of really proud moments, and they're really to do with homeless people and work that I've been involved in over the years. And so it's always something really close to my heart when somebody says, yeah, let's go and support the homeless. It's quality.
And sometimes it doesn't take a lot, right?
Mm. I think you touched on it. Just to be seen is nice.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And I think, yes. You know, I think, Angela, for you, you know, presenter, show host, content creator, there's a lot about being seen in that. Is there a reason that you want to be seen?
Yeah, probably. I was never like the popular kid. I wasn't like, you know, I was the quiet one in my group. I was really shy. I never felt like I never had the confidence. I had opinions, just never had confidence to speak out loud. So maybe that has something to do with it. So I'm trying now to force myself and just share my voice. And one of the things I want to do as a presenter, I do not want to follow a script. I will say what I think. and yeah, I think that played a huge part in that.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I love going on a journey with people that, you know, we can kind of really visualize just the journey that you've been on in your life and the sort of influences that are having. Is there somebody in your life that has been that sort of kingpin influence outside of you? Because there's a lot of self-motivation going on here, that's clear. But who's been your your hero, your major influence?
I think, you know, throughout my life, I had different people, you know, different stages of my life, different people influenced me. Sometimes it wasn't, you know, someone specifically. It could be even a fictional character, you know, watching, reading books or like watching films and things like that. It's like actually kind of my life right now, if I think about it. Back in the day, the 90s, you know, rom-coms, you know, the girl moved from the to a big city. She became really successful in her career, but she's so lonely. She's alone, and until the man comes into her life, and they made it sound really sad. But when I saw that, I was like, oh, she's such a badass. I want to be that when I grow up. And here am I in a big city, you know, doing a, you know, marketing job and single. So I'm leaving the dream. There's been different people and that have helped me. And even like in my career, there are a few people I could name, and they've just been, they're still in my life, and it's been amazing. They believed in me more than I did in myself at the time. And they allowed me, they created a space for me to just be myself and try things and just kind of push me a little bit and just say, it's okay. You know, it's fine to do that and just go and do it. So there's been different people that have helped me. But yeah, hope that answers the question.
Do you think that the UK is your forever home? Or do you think that there's another part of the world that will get the benefit of you?
I don't know. Great question. I never thought about that. I am not. You know, I don't have to be. I'm quite open. If something comes up and I have to go, I'll go. You know, I'm at a stage in life where I don't have to be settled in one place. I do quite like the UK. I feel it provided me with opportunities that I wouldn't have had if I was in Spain, because it's not as easy. So it's a yes and a no. I don't know.
Are you somebody who doesn't plan much and you see an opportunity and you go for it?
I want to plan, because sometimes I want to plan it, because I don't know if this is an ADHD thing, but I need to know what's happening. I need to know, or that will stress me out. But usually, yeah, it's just like, I just go with it. But it's not that healthy, I don't think.
It can land you in trouble from time to time, I have to say. Yes, going in the moment can often be a bit of a challenge. But anyway, this has been a fabulous journey, and I think we can all relate to much. Well, certainly those of us that have got those challenges around ADHD and I want to be seen, I think. But beautiful to know that the heart behind it is also to see as well, to see others and to, you know, that bit towards the homeless people and also to tell other people's story. I think, you know, what you're doing with BEV and others is fabulous. It really is, you know, it's good. It's bringing to life their journey, their story, a brand that I'm very familiar with. And it's cool to see that you have become the face of that brand and you've really kind of lent into it. And I'm curious to see the next brand that comes along that you've alluded to. But we have a closing tradition here on the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast. Now, I mean, it wouldn't be a proper podcast if it didn't have a closing tradition. So that closing tradition is to present you, Angela Murishan. Murishan.
You said it right.
Cherry to her mates with the EV Cafe magic wand. Oh. Yay.
Amazing. I was watching Harry Potter last night.
There you go. You see, well, so Harry borrowed his magic wand from us, but he's given it back, especially for you, there with lightning bolt and suit. So it's coming over the airwaves to you. And there we go. Oh, she's got it. She's straight
in
there.
It's invisible. I made it invisible.
It's invisible. Yes, of course. There you go. You see, that's it. The creative brain has kicked in immediately. We love that. So, Angela, you have but one wish. How would you use it?
Oh my God. In what sense? Are we talking about personal?
You have a wish. It's yours. It's your wish.
Oh my God. Just one. But like, even if just Guinea one. Gives you three.
Yeah, so this is the Evie Cafe. We're on a budget.
Okay, what should we make it about? Okay, wow. Brain is like working right now. I'm going to actually, because I was speaking to someone about this the other day, and they asked me, this was a work thing as well. What, like, if I'm a petrol driver or an EV driver, if I hate it. I absolutely hate when people have to put me in a box. Like, why do we have to? It's like going back to high school. You're like, you know, the cool kids, or you're not the cool kids. Why can't you just appreciate things for what they are? So if I can just wish and one thing, it's to stop that and just work together and just appreciate things for what they're giving us. You know, you can't have everything electric. Sometimes it might have to be different things, you know, sustainable fuels, da da da. So can we just be one group where we can work together to achieve a better life, more healthier, sustainable, and just drive whatever you want to drive, or just live life the way you want to live life without having to put a name on it, like, oh, it's sustainability or it's electric. It's just life.
It's a holistic view. I'm feeling that.
I mean, it's pretty hard.
Without angst, I think it's taking away the angst of tribalism. Would that be right? You're removing that tribal thing, but we're all going forward for the common good. Would that be right?
Yeah. I mean, we can still have different opinions and different things, you know, otherwise life will be boring. But I just don't want to, you know, those back and forth and working in the EV space, speaking to EV people. I like the sound of a V8. That, you know, that just because I work in sustainability, that doesn't mean I can't appreciate something like that. But I'm not going to go and buy it, you know. But I can appreciate it. It's already been built. Also, the most sustainable thing to do is use the things that have already been built.
There you go. She's on it. She's got the full picture. JC got the full picture and is the full picture. Yes, full picture. Is that right?
There's a
phrase in my head, you know, the full...
Let's go with that. Right? They say never meet your heroes. And Andrew and I we've been broadly in the same area and spoken a few times, but I've never actually properly had a conversation with you.
No. And well, I hope I didn't disappoint.
Well, that's where I was going. The impression I had of you was somebody who was that stereotypical Spanish woman who is just going to talk and talk and talk at rapid speed and fill you full of information, a bundle of energy. And actually what you discover is somebody who is measured and thinks things through. You do have that ability to be a little bit all over the shop, but you manage it really, really well. And you are not what I expected in the slightest. You're better.
Well, thank you. You'd be surprised over the years how many people talk. I used to be not like fully energetic, but I used to be really blunt and I had no filter back in the day. It was terrible.
Golly.
Yeah. So nowadays, I still speak with my mind, but I also like to think, is it weird that I like to think about what other people are thinking and to understand how their brain works? Is that weird?
No, it's called maturity.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah, but do you know what? There's something about when you take the reins off, you take the bit out, and I imagine there's those moments, Angela, where you do let loose and you're unfiltered. And sometimes being unfiltered and kind of going down that road is okay as well. But I think
I'm in trouble way too many times.
I know that feeling. But yeah, it's been, do you know what, as it has, you've definitely not disappointed. And I love the kind of journey that you've been on, for me, gives you a much bigger future than you believe in. I think you're in danger, and I don't do this often, but you're in danger of settling. And I think that bar needs to go higher. And it doesn't mean you have to work harder. It doesn't mean in the sense of like working every hour God sends and all that sort of stuff. But it says to me that you've got this opportunity because there's this engine in you that is so grounded in a clear vision, you know, a real goal of what you have set out to achieve, retiring your mum, the most proud moment, all that sort of stuff. That's been really clear. And I just think you've got a lot of potential and you should embrace the opportunities and set the bar high and don't settle. I don't think you're going to have to, sort of rein it in or whatever. I think I'm waffling now, but I think set the bar high and go for it because you've got something that can make a difference to our industry, but also to a wider thing as well. Anyway,
thank you so much. That is so kind. Thank you so much. So kind of you to say that.
But well, just speak as you see, right? That's what we do here. And like you say, we've got to encourage one another, and we've got to work together and lift each other up. I think that if anybody wants their brand, you know, of course, the Evie Cafe can do little bits of this and that. Obviously, but Angela is a brilliant option, and you can have Angela to speak for your brand. It could be amazing and do a whole ton of stuff. I think you can begin to see just from this short conversation why she is going to make a difference to our marketplace. That's been fantastic, Angela. Is there anything that we should have asked you that we haven't?
I don't know. No idea. This is the ADHD brain. After the call, I'll be like, ah, damn, I should have talked about that. And yeah, but right now, I think
not. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a part two. But listen, best of luck. I don't think it's luck. I think you work hard and you're getting your just desserts for that hard work. But continue to work hard. Continue to get what you deserve in terms of the opportunities. And we look forward to hearing about that in the future. In the meantime, everybody, follow along with 17,000 or more other people on LinkedIn. That's a big number. And connect. I think you're on Instagram and all those. So send us through all of those links. They'll be in the chat so people can follow you and follow along the adventures of Angela Murison. Until next time, everybody, have a great day. And of course, you can head over to evcafe.com/podcast to hear all of the others, or Apple and Spotify and all that good stuff. But in the meantime, have a great day, and until the next time.